Imagine with me
what our church would be like if everyone, and I mean everyone, including me, would give in a way that honored the Lord. Imagine what that would be like here. And I want you to imagine also, not only if every one of us gave in a way that honored the Lord, imagine if we as a church continued to administer the gifts that God has given us in a way that would honor the Lord. What would it look like? What would the future look like for Harvest Community Church? What would it look like? Well, if you hang on with me to the end, I'm going to share maybe what I think it might look like. But in the meantime, we're in a series entitled Power Through Weakness, where we've been studying the book of 2 Corinthians, as you guys know. In the past few weeks, we've been trekking through chapter 8, where 2 weeks ago we talked about giving grace as we looked at the Macedonian church and how God supernaturally poured out his grace upon them. And they were able to give out of their poverty and beyond their own means. And then last week we talked about a giving example where we looked at Jesus Christ, who though he was rich became poor so that we who are poor could become spiritually rich. And this week we're going to talk about giving honor. So 2 weeks ago it was giving grace. Last week it was a giving example. And this week we're talking about giving honor, where we're going to learn how you and I can give and how we as a church can administer the gifts in a way that honors Christ. So let's set up our passage. The theme or the context of our passage is that Paul is basically making an appeal to the Corinthian church to finish what they started in regards to an offering that began roughly a year ago. And this offering that they were collecting was going to go to the economically challenged church in Jerusalem. And in verses 19 and 20, 23 of our text, what we see in these two verses are a few phrases which what I believe it undergirds the whole passage, and it illumines our theme, this theme of honor for today. Look here at verse 19. It says, "What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administered in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help." Paul states here in regards to the offering that they were collecting and that they were going to administer, that he and his companions, they want to administer it in such a way in order to honor the Lord. So their goal is to handle this huge collection in a way that would honor the Lord. And this was a priority for Paul. And then notice here in verse 23, it says, "As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches." And it says this, "And they are an honor to Christ." These brothers who are going to trek with Paul are representatives of the church, and they are an honor to Christ. Or another way to say it is they bring glory to Christ. Their character, who they are, the fact that they were the top notch among probably their congregations, they were an honor to Christ. And it was a special, unique calling that these men had to go with Paul and to go with Titus to bring this offering to Jerusalem. So here we see this theme of honor in how the offering is administered and how the very lives of these men that are taking the offering, it's they are honoring. They're honoring to Christ. So honoring is this theme. And so when you look at this passage as a whole, if I were to outline it, it kind of looks like this. In verses 10 through 15, you see Paul talking to the Corinthians. And we're going to see this. He's talking to the Corinthians. But then when we get to verse 16 to 24, he turns from kind of talking to the Corinthians about their giving to talking to them about how they're going to administer this gift. And so, because when you look at this passage, I'm going to divide up our outline as such as those who give and then those who administer. Those who give and those who administer. So let's answer the question now. What does honorable stewardship look like first for those who give? Well, the first way it looks for those who give is it looks or it comes from a willing heart. It comes from a willing heart. Listen to what Paul says in verses 10 through 12. He said, "This is my judgment. Here's my judgment about what's best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but then check this out, but to also have the desire to do so. Verse 11, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means." Here's another word again. "For if your willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." The Corinthian believers a year prior to this writing had a willing heart to give. The text says that they had a desire and an eager willingness to give. They were exemplary in this. Their motives were right. They were prompted by the Holy Spirit to act. They were eager and they had this desire to help. And this is where honorable stewardship begins with each of us, and it begins with our congregation. It begins with a desire. One could even argue that from these two chapters that Paul's priority is a person's intentions over their actions, especially because the theme of eagerness and willingness is repeated through chapters 8 and 9. Well, the bottom line is this, that if we're going to honor Christ, if you and I are going to honor Christ in our giving, when it comes to giving on this earth, our hearts are the key. Our hearts are to be willing. You see, actions are important, but remember, as 1 Samuel tells us, that God looks at the what? God looks at the heart. And so let me ask you a question. How's your heart? How's your heart when it comes to giving? Is it begrudging? Is it worried? How is it? Is it willing? How is our heart as a congregation? Like when we hear about needs, who knows what's right around the corner with this Hurricane Florence, right? How are our hearts? Are they willing? Well, the good news is that God desires for our hearts to be willing. And we can come to Him, especially if you're in a place where it's like, "God, my heart's not willing." You can come to Him and say, "God, give me a willing heart." And I believe God will honor that prayer. But it begins with seeing that it's His desire for us to have a willing heart. Well, next, honorable stewardship, it finishes its commitments. It finishes its commitments. Listen to what Paul says in verse 11. He says, "Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means." Paul here gives his opinion when he commands the Corinthians to complete what they started. In chapters 8 and 9, this is the only imperative that's in the original that Paul gives. And so this is very, very, very important. And it's why it's one of these points even right here. You see, honorable stewardship is not complete at desire or willingness. It starts there, but honorable stewardship is complete when it completes the act of giving, when the act of giving is fulfilled. It's almost as if there's a two-step process here. There's this desire that comes first, and then finishing the collection and giving it to Paul and Titus and others to take it to Jerusalem was second. And so they needed to finish what they started. One commentator states, he says, "Genuine desire acts. A genuine attitude inevitably results in action. Where the heart is, the will must follow." So you see a desire, and then here you see completion. honorable stewardship completes or finishes its commitments. Well, next, honorable stewardship for those who give is according to one's means. It's according to one's means. Notice two different times in verses 11 and 12, Paul states here in verse 11, "Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means." And then in verse 12, he says, "According to what one has, not according to what one does not have." You see, Paul was asking the Corinthian church to give what they could afford. There was an expectation from Paul to give. That's without excuse. That's clear. Paul expected the Corinthian church and all the churches to give in this collection. The expectation was there. But Paul wanted all the churches to contribute. And if you were a wealthy church like the Corinthian church, Paul wanted them to give in proportion to their wealth. And if you were a poor church like the Macedonian churches, he wanted them to give in measure to this. Although God, if you remember a few weeks ago, graced them to give over and above. Each church's means were different. And so Paul encourages them to give according to what they have, not what they don't have. And so Paul stresses here proportionate giving. The amount that one church gives may totally look different than another church. He uses the words according to your means. And if you remember, maybe in 1 Corinthians 16:2, he uses a terminology similar when he says, as God prospers you. And so honorable stewardship is according to our church's means, or it's according to our means in our own personal lives. And for the record, it doesn't honor the Lord for us to borrow money to give to him. It doesn't honor the Lord for us to give so much of our income that we're unable to pay our bills and end up being a bad witness to others. It doesn't honor the Lord for us to give in order to be seen by others, or to give a certain amount because we're competing against others. No, God looks at the heart. And we're to give according to what we have, which means that both rich, and hear me, it means that both rich and poor can give abundant gifts to God. You see, you can be in here and maybe the most you can give is $10, right? And you give it. You know, that's an abundant gift to God, because God doesn't look at the amounts. He looks at the heart. But you can be in here and you can give $60,000 and your heart not be in the right place, and God not honor that. Where's your heart? Give in light of your means. In church, the same with us. We're to give according to our means. As God prospers us, we are to give in light of that. As God prospers us. See, the goal, let's say if there's a windfall, right? Let's say that maybe our church grows and there's money coming. The money that would come will not be for our hoarding, as we all know, but it will be for his purposes. It would be to giving to wherever he would have us give. But it's in proportion to to what he's given us. So next, honorable stewards, their motive in giving is to be involved now and in the future. Their motive in giving is to be involved now and in the future. Paul did not want the Corinthians to be hard pressed while the Jerusalem church lived in comfort. He wanted the Corinthians to give equally as the other churches did. And again, he does mean equally in amounts, but in effort and in how God has blessed them. He didn't want them to stand by the wayside of this offering while the Macedonian churches were sacrificially giving them. He wanted them to be involved. It was to be an equal contribution based upon how God had blessed them. And in the now, it was how they could get involved immediately by finishing this collection. Because remember, they stopped. But Paul wasn't finished. Paul envisioned that proportionate giving among churches would cause a unique interchange in the future. He says in verse 14, he says, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need so that in turn their plenty will one day maybe supply what you need. In one sense, there's this principle of reciprocity. They could help each other. The one who's flourishing now could help the one who's struggling now. And in the future, likewise. It reminds me a bit of this faith-based healthcare options out there where you give to others when they have a need. And then when you have a need, people are given to you. Well, although there's uncertainty in looking to the future, I think Paul is saying that one day, Corinthian church, if you come into a time where you have a need, the Jerusalem church in their plenty could supply what you need. And even if they could not, and if even if this never happens where you ever have a need, Corinthian church, what they have done in supplying salvation to the Gentile churches is maybe enough. Remember, the church started in Jerusalem. Well, honorable stewardship for those who give. Also recognize God's grace in those who administer God's gift. Read with me verse 16. It says, thanks be to God who put it in the heart of Titus the same care, concern that I have for you. Don't have a lot of time to spend here, but notice that who was it that put a concern or earnestness in the heart of Titus for the Corinthians? It was God. You know, a few weeks ago, Jerry talked about the word grace and how in these two chapters it's used 10 different times. Well, here in verse 16 is one of those times, even though you don't see the word. You see, the word grace is translated thanks. Well, if you remember in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, the principle of God's grace that was at work in the Macedonian people, where it says this in verse 1, it says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. This same grace that was at work in the Macedonian churches to give is now at work in Titus. So it's amazing. God had given a unique burden for the Corinthian believers to Titus. God did this. God was behind the scenes in this. And God gifts the church with people to care for it. It's amazing. It's unique. There's a unique burden on Titus's behalf. And it's worth noting something here about Titus, who was a son in the faith for Paul. He was valuable to Paul. God was doing a unique work in and through Titus in his care for the Corinthians, especially in helping with this gift. And in our church family, we have elders who help manage our church resources. And you know those elders. They're Stan and Jerry and Mike and Dan and Nathan. And it's interesting when you get around these men, they have a heart for our church. And we don't just have elders such as Titus or pastors, perhaps such as Titus, but we have God-fearing people that God has raised up to assist these elders practically by administering, for example, our weekly offerings, who help in the process of creating budgets and who do a number of other things financially. Who are some of these people? You know, they're the Steve Cartmans, the Richard Alamias, the Heidi Records, the Ryan Cruises. You see, church, we recognize God's grace in these people because it's God who's working in them to care for us. And thanks be to God. It's good to have people that care for you. It's good for us to love our elders and love those who work in this area of administrating gifts. It's good for us to love them well. I want to encourage you to pray for them. They're on the front lines of this battle. We should pray for them. And finally, honorable stewardship for those who give. Show love to those who administer gifts. Look at this in verse 23. It says, as for Titus, he's my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Verse 24, therefore, show these men the proof of your love and reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. You see, Paul here tells the Corinthian church to prove their love by practicing hospitality. He's wanting the Corinthians, it's interesting, he's wanting the Corinthians to receive Titus and to receive these two brothers with love and to help gather the offering so it can be ready when Paul comes. Show them hospitality. Help them in their work of collecting this offering, because the devil does not want that to happen. You know, money is already a challenging topic in churches. And I think practically as a church, you know, one of the things we can do is we can help honor those who administer the gifts here. I think in one practical way is, you know, when we come on the Lord's Day, have our gift ready to give. Give cheerfully. Or give whenever you've planned to give. That's one way we can just practically do that. You know, another way is by serving in the area of finances. You know, maybe God's got a growing desire, or he's cultivating a growing desire in you to serve in this area. I want to just encourage you, step forward. Talk to Pastor Jerry, talk to myself. It's one way that we can show love to those who administer gifts. We can come alongside of them and we can help them. So that's what honorable stewardship looks like for those who give. And so now, what does honorable stewardship look like for those who administer? These are the elders. These are those who assist the elders. And listen carefully. What does honorable stewardship look like for those who administer God's gifts? Well, first, recognize God's grace in you. God gave you that desire. And that's God's grace. And I'm thankful for that. And I want you to be thankful for that. It's God working in you to fulfill his purposes for our church. Not an accident. It's not an accident. God's grace did this. Recognize God's grace in you, working in you. And next, let integrity guide you. Read with me verses 18 and following. It says, and we are sending along with him the brother who's praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness. And then notice in verses 20 and 21, which are very critical, it says, we want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking great pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. See, Paul starts off in verse 18 to say, in addition to Titus, we're inconveniencing ourselves. I mean, we're sending along a brother who's praised by all the churches. No one knows who this brother is. And this brother will accompany Paul and Titus, and they're going to carry the offering. And Paul is kind of building this case as to why he is painstakingly careful, and how by encouraging the churches to send someone to travel with them. Paul could have traveled by himself, right? Paul could have maybe even had Titus with him. But he encouraged the churches, send some more people to go with us as we take this offering. And then in verse 20 and 21, he lays down the hammer as to why. He says this, and please hear me if you're an administrator here. He says, we want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. We are taking great pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. Paul had Titus and two other brothers travel with him as he took this offering. He didn't want the Corinthians or anyone else to say that he mishandled the money. He did not want to give the enemy even a small crack in the door. Because remember, Paul's relationships with the church had already been fractured because of the teaching of the false prophets or the false apostles who were turning the Corinthian believers against Paul. And so Paul encourages the churches to send their very own representatives, men of upstanding character, to travel with him. And as a church, and to those who handle the church's resources, listen, church, we have to be extra careful, not only in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of man, because if the world out there sees that, I mean, think about it. You see this in televangelists all the time. You hear about how they mishandle money, and it's a ploy that the enemy uses to just discredit the gospel. So you have to be, we want to be incredibly careful, and we want to make sure that we're upright in the eyes of man and in the eyes of God when we honor Christ. So some of the ways we do this as a church family, in brief, we report to you, church family, year to date given the first Sunday of every month. It's one of the ways we just open what has been given to you. We have accounting procedures that help us stay organized and on point. And included in this is the use of a local CPA. As mentioned earlier, we have a finance team that assists the staff and elders, recommending an annual budget with monitoring and also monitoring expenses. Our offerings, when money's given, offerings are collected by at least two ushers. They're counted and tabulated and then signed on. The slip is signed by two members, and then it's deposited by our treasurer and or by her assistant, Richard. And so in brief, with regard to the administration of Christian giving or handling the church funds, I think there's three principles that Paul supports, and I'll give them quickly. Number one, those handling church funds should have the confidence of the people. Those representatives that the church has sent, they were upstanding people. And church family, those who we would recommend to handle funds in our church, those who we would recommend to be elders in our church, may they have our confidence. May they have our confidence. Secondly, those who oversee finances should first be tested and proven. You saw this in verse 22 where it says, "We're sending them with our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous." We don't just put people around finances, I think, who haven't proven themselves in character, right? That's dangerous. Last, there's safety in numbers. Paul wanted help, not just for protection from thieves, for example, but he also wanted to protect both him, and Titus from accusation and suspicion. Roman orator and statesman Cicero declared that the chief thing in all public administration and public service and service is to avoid even the slightest suspicion of self-seeking. And as those who administer church funds, we should do this also. This is serious business. The honor of Christ is on the line here. So let me give you God's word. God's word's this. One becomes a God-honoring giver, and you probably guessed it, by honoring Christ. By honoring Christ. And how you give, and then church leaders, and how we administer gifts. And may it be said of us when our days come to an end that we've handled church funds well, that we've honored Christ. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for your word. God, I pray for us as a congregation. What would it be like if every one of us gave to you in a way that honored you? Lord, we'd be able to give more towards ministry. It's just true. We would be able to pay our debt off, Lord. We would be able to fast and pray and ask you, Lord, how would you like to use the resources we have to advance your rule and reign on earth? God, I pray, help us to be a a God-honoring, giving church, and help each of us as individuals to give in a way that honors you. And then, Lord, help us to administer well. Give wisdom to the managing elders. Give wisdom to the finance team who assists them. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.